Hey everyone, we are here and we are ready to go with the Word of God today. Oh, we got something good for you today. We're going to begin a brand new series, and it talks about the 36 things that happen to you at the moment that you're saved. Think about that. 36 things happen the moment you're saved. And we're going to take a look at all of them. Not in this program. Today we'll take a look at about 9 of them. But this would be a good series to have a pad, a notebook, a pen, and just kind of write down very briefly the 36 wonderful things that happen at the moment of salvation. Because you know what they do? They build our faith. Oh yeah? We need our faith built living in this world that we're living in. No doubt about it. So this is going to be a series of mini Bible doctrines. Okay? They're important. As Christians, we are students of the Word of God. So therefore, we should be learning the doctrines of the Bible. How many things can you name happen all at once the moment you're saved? How many can you name? Well, by the end of this series, you're going to be able to name 36. How about that? 36 of them. And I like that. That's going to be very vital to our Christian walk. Okay? All right. Now, when I combined all of these 36 things that hope happen at the moment of salvation, you know what I call it? The riches of divine grace. That's what it is. Because everything God is doing for us is according to His grace. Okay? Everything He does is grace. I'm not sure. I'm just getting ready here. Okay? Everything God does for us, all these good things, it's grace. Okay? So when you add them all up, you've got the riches of His divine grace. So like I said, we'll cover 9 of those right now. And if you can jot them down, I think it'll be to your benefit. These works are all, 1, wrought by God. 2, they're wrought instantaneously, and they're wrought simultaneously. That means that God does it all at once at the same time. And they're based on the merits of Christ. Not on us. It's not because, oh, there's something good about us. No, they're all based on the merits of Jesus Christ. That's why these things are done for us. Okay? So therefore, we will see that you are either perfectly saved or you are perfectly lost. It's one or the other. There's no in between. There's no, well, a little of this and a little of that. You're either totally and perfectly saved or you are totally and perfectly lost. So let's begin. 1, at the moment of salvation, you are placed in the eternal plan of God. I like that one right off the bat. You're placed in the eternal plan of God. This is the divine purpose from eternity past that stretched through time, and it goes all the way into eternity future. Terminology respecting the divine purpose of God, foreknowledge. Okay? God has foreknowledge of all things before they happen. The Apostle Peter said in 1 Peter 1:20, speaking of Christ, that He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but has appeared for us in these last times for the sake of you. So Jesus made an appearance in human history for our sakes, but He was always foreknown to do it. The word foreknown is the word pro-ginosko. Pro means before. Ginosko means to know, so it means to come to know or to know beforehand. So in the plan of God, it was always known that Christ would step out of eternity into time, become the Savior of the world, and then step back into eternity. That's the foreknowledge of God according to His plan. Another aspect, something else that happens to us. 2, at the moment of salvation, try to follow me on this one now. We are predestined. God determines beforehand what will come to pass regarding us. Okay? Scripture, Romans 8:29. Now pay attention. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that we would be the firstborn among many brethren. Now, what does that scripture mean in Romans 8:29? Here's what it means. God predetermined those who believed in his Son that they would be in a process to be conformed to Christ's image. In other words, God predestined or predetermined whoever is saved will be conformed to the image of Christ. Okay? He didn't predetermine those who would believe, but he predetermined those after they would believe to become conformed to the image of Christ. Okay? Very important. He didn't predestine us to be saved. He predestined us because we're saved. That's the key. The third thing that happens at the moment of salvation, we become the called. In Romans 8:30, those whom he predestined, why? Because they're saved, he also called. Now think about this. Each person at the moment of salvation has a calling on their life by God. So now the called are distinct from the unregenerate. We're the called. In 1 Corinthians 1:23, Paul said, hey, well, he didn't say, hey, I did. We preach Christ crucified, to Jews a stumbling block, to Gentiles foolishness, but to those who are the called, in other words, those that are saved, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. So if you consider yourself a Christian, you are actually called. And maybe the called would describe more intently who you are in Christ. You are the called, and that adds purpose to our life. We're not called to salvation, but we're called because salvation has already taken place. See, once we're saved, all these things happen. These things happen at the moment of salvation. Predestination, as we're going to see, redemption, being called, all these happen because we're saved, not to get us saved. Okay? All right. The fourth thing that happens, we are justified. Now, to justify means to declare just. Justification is not so much something God does as much as it is something God says. Okay? We're still in Romans 8:30. Now, to those whom he called, he also justified. Not to be made just. Okay? Let me explain that. To be justified is not to be made righteous. One is declared justified because they already are righteous. It's like a judge in a court. When a judge in a court makes the announcement, bangs down the gavel, boom, justified. Now they're free to go. So when we're saved, God declares us, boom, justified. Now you're free. It's more of a declaration. It's a legal declaration. We have been made justified, declared by God because of the work of Christ. Okay? So legally, we go free. That's justification. The fifth thing that happens the moment we believe in Christ, we are glorified. Oh, there's another good one too, glorified. Still in verse 30. Those whom he justified. See how it works? One leads to another, but they all happen at the same time. Those whom he justified, he also glorified. Now, what does it mean to glorify? It means to render or esteem glorious. All right? Now, to God the Father, in John 15:8, Jesus said, my Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. So we glorify God the Father when we are fruitful. Okay? In John 11:4, Jesus said when he went to heal Lazarus, "This sickness is not to end in death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified by it." So now Christ was glorified when he called Lazarus from the tomb. Okay? So again, when you glorify God, when you glorify Christ, it's to render or esteem glorious. Now, at the moment of salvation, the believer is esteemed glorious. How about that? What do you think of that? That the day you accept Christ as Savior, boom, you are esteemed glorious. So therefore, you're giving glory to God by the fact that you have been saved. See how simple? See how basic? And yet all of these things play into our daily Christian life, if you really stick with it. Now, number six, and this is, we're going to clear up some misgivings here. The sixth thing that happens because you're saved, don't forget, this is what we're talking about. This is all because you are saved. These are things that happen at the moment following your salvation. You become the elect of God. Okay? Romans 8:33. Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Now, what does elect mean? Elect means favorite. Elect is the present state of the believer who has been made just through faith in the shed blood of Christ. That's the elect, okay? We are the elect because we've been made righteous through faith in Christ. There's going to come a time in the Great Tribulation. And Jesus said in Mark 13:27, that he will send forth his angels and will gather together his elect from the four winds and from the farthest end of the earth to the farthest end of heaven. Who are the elect? Those that are saved. Those that get saved in the Great Tribulation. So again, we're not elected to salvation, we're elected because of salvation. If you read Romans 8 consistently chronologically, you'll see how one follows the other all in a microsecond, but they all take place because we are saved. That's the key to understanding this, okay? This is 36 things that happen at the moment of salvation. Today we're looking at 9 of them. Okay, the seventh thing that happens, we become chosen. And again, look at it in its context. In Ephesians 1:4, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. Now, what does that scripture say? Just as he chose us in him. What it does not say, it doesn't say just as he chose us to be in him. No, it chose us because you are in him. Once you are in Christ, you become chosen. Okay? Christ is the only one that was chosen. He's the only one. And when we're in him, we become chosen. Remember at the Mount of Transfiguration? Jesus was on that little hill. And his garments, they were glowing, right? And Moses and Elijah came down. 3 disciples were there. A voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him." What is God saying? This Christ whom you see, he is my chosen one. When we're in him, we become chosen. Oh, we've got to understand that. Because what it does, it opens up the gospel to the whole world. Now anybody and everybody can be saved. The invitation is universal. And when you're in Christ, these are the things that happen instantaneously. And I review them at the end. Okay? so you can write them down. The eighth thing that happens, we are redeemed. What is the definition of redeemed? To be bought out of a market, to be bought out of a slave market in particular. Okay, and that's where we were when Christ redeemed us through his shed blood. In 1 Peter 1:18, Peter said, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things, like silver or gold. So you know what that means? You can't buy your salvation. You can't earn your salvation. You can't negotiate your salvation. There's nothing you can do. Every religion in the world is getting people to buy their salvation. You cannot do it. But Peter said, no, you've been redeemed with, precious blood, as of a lamb, unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. We have been purchased with the precious blood of Christ. So now we can note three aspects of redemption. Number one, it is general, because Christ died for the sins of the whole world, making it possible for the lost to be saved. Okay? Number two, it becomes specific when one appropriates the sacrifice of Christ personally. Okay? Generally, Christ died for the sins of the world, but now it becomes personal when you appropriate that shed blood for you. Okay? And then thirdly, it is not secured by faithfulness. It is secured by God. That's a big one. Your faithfulness does not secure your salvation. God secures your salvation. Now, I know some guys, they probably don't like to preach that. No, they'll go out and sin. Not if they're truly saved. They won't want to. But you can't hold back what God says. If God says our salvation is secured by him, not by us, we can't hold that back. It's not our jobs to control people. It's all about the free will. Ephesians 4:30, we're sealed by the Holy Spirit to the day of redemption. So there's the work of God keeping us safe until we're redeemed. It is through redemption that we have forgiveness. Okay? We have the forgiveness of God. Ephesians 1:7. In him, speaking of Christ, we have redemption. Oh, through his blood. The forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. So if the forgiveness was there at the moment of salvation, you know what? It doesn't go away. Because it's given by God and it is maintained by God. You got to remember those two things. God gave it. God maintains it. Okay? That is the redemption of the soul. We await a redemption of the body, which will take place at the rapture. Our body is not redeemed until we go up to be with God. What did Paul say in 1 Corinthians 15:51? He said, behold. In other words, pay attention. I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep. That means we will not all die. But we will all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trumpet. The trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised, imperishable, and we will be changed. For this perishable must put on the imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. So that means our humanness has to be discarded physically, and we put on that which is immortal. Our body will be redeemed because our soul has been redeemed. Okay? Number nine, the ninth thing that happens simultaneously at the moment of salvation. We are reconciled to God. What does reconciled mean? It means to mutually change. Okay? That is the gospel plea. In 2 Corinthians 5:20, The invitation goes out to the world. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, Paul said, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. So our relationship with God is changed at the moment of salvation. We become his child, he becomes our father. Oh, it's a brand new relationship. Are you kidding me? No, I'm not. It's a brand new relationship. That's reconciliation. We have a brand new standing with God. And we are ambassadors for Christ. Every believer, everyone that's called as a believer, is a representative of the kingdom of heaven. And we are equipped with the gospel. Okay? And that's why Paul could say, all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ. And he gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So what's he saying? At the moment of salvation, boom, our trespasses were gone. And he gave us the ministry of reconciliation, which means we now share the gospel with other people. That our job is to let people know they can be reconciled back to God. They can have a changed relationship with God. They once were lost, now they're found. They once were dead, now they're alive. That's the ministry of the called. That's us, the ministry of reconciliation. So here we have the first 9 things that happen at the moment of salvation. Here's what you need to understand. These things happen because we're saved. Okay? They don't bring us to salvation. They follow instantaneously, simultaneously, salvation. And what are they? Number one, we're placed into God's plan. The moment you're saved, you're in the plan of God. Number two, you're predestined to become like Christ. That's called sanctification. God has a plan for your life to make you like his son. Number three, you are called with a holy calling. Holy means special, devoted. It means unique, that there's something special about you. There's a calling on your life. Number four, you are declared just by God. A legal declaration has been made. Boom, the gavel comes down. You're justified. Number five, you're glorified. It means you're esteemed glorious because God is glorified in your salvation. God gets the glory, but you are esteemed glorious as well. Wow. Number six, you now become elect, God's favorite, because you're in Christ. See, Christ is the only one elect. And when you're in him, you become elect. You also become chosen. Again, Christ is the only one chosen. When you're in him, you become chosen. Number eight, you are redeemed, purchased out of the slave market with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. See, God did all this. He did it all. That's why it's the riches of his grace. He did it all for us. We did nothing. All we did was accept Christ as Savior. And bango, all these other things happened. And then number nine, we're reconciled. We're changed in our relationship to God. Think about it. 9 things happen. 36 in all. Maybe you can find a few more, I don't know. But today we looked at 9 things that happen at the moment that you accepted Christ as your Savior. Let me run through them quick again. God put you in his plan. He predestined you to become like Christ. He called you with a holy calling. He declared you just. He glorified you. You're elected, you're chosen, you're redeemed, and you're reconciled. I don't know about you, but that's the makings of having some pretty good confidence in your walk with God. Do you realize how safe and secure you are in God? And we're only scratching the surface here. I mean, now we're like 1/4 of the way to go. We got 75% more things to cover that have to do with us and our standing with God. That's incredible. This should build your faith. This should make you like, oh yeah, man, thank you, Lord. I'm going to make my life count. I want to live in the calling that you placed on my life. And I know now that I'm sanctified and redeemed, and I'm going to make my life worthwhile because of the price that was paid for me. And let me share something with you. I have a special little mini devotional that I do every day at the New Hope Christian Church Facebook. New Hope Christian Church Swansea. That's the Facebook. And if you're an early riser between 6 and 6:30, I'm there live doing a little mini devotional. We're going through the scriptures verse by verse. And you don't have to be there at that time. You can just click on New Hope Christian Church Facebook in Swansea, and it'll be there for you. It's a great way to start the day. Oh, yeah. Get pumped up for God and for life. So join me every morning between 6 and 6:30 at the New Hope Christian Church Facebook. Get that little mini devotional to start the day. By the way, you in the Hope Club? That'll give you an email every day as well. Go to newhoperadio.live, click the menu bar, and all the information is there. Join the Hope Club. That'll help us stay on the air, and that'll give you another spiritual arrow in your quiver to live the Christian life. All right? Hey, thank you all for coming along. I'll see you next time for more of New Hope Radio.